highlighted and information on the back table. Lisa, do you have an announcement? Great. Great. Saturday, October 3rd, fun for the whole family. There's a beautiful color flyer in the Hope Room, which you can pick up and get all the details there. Also in the Hope Room this morning, there's a newsletter from our partners at Camp Street Ministries, which is our neighborhood food pantry here that we work with. And they actually, this morning, had a gift for us, which is an overflow of bread. They received bread, and now they're giving us bread. So if you'd like some bread to take home, it's there on the back table. It's good fresh bread. Grab a loaf. That's a gift to you. One other, some important information that's in your bulletin is the information regarding the funeral and memorial services for Michael Benson. Information's in the bulletin, and if you are wondering how you might help out, there's a sign-up sheet in the back in the Hope Room, and you can sign up for any number of things regarding that next weekend, which is when this is all taking place. We actually do need quite a bit of help, as there's going to be a lot of folks coming from long distances, and we want to make sure that things are in place. So if you have a question about that, you can speak with Pastor Chris or Leticia, and they will get you situated for how you can help with that. Other announcements this morning? Yes, there. Okay. Great. Sign up for hosting coffee hour in the back, or talk to Dave Spader directly. Others? Dave, Dr. Dave.
Just a quick change in the bulletin today. I know what to do.
Gina and little Leah are home sick, so thanks, Dave, for stepping in. Here the psalmist who writes, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heavens and earth. It is that Lord, the Lord of heavens and earth, who calls us together in worship today. Come, let us worship God together. proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Trusting in the faithfulness of our God and with boldness, we now approach the throne of glory, knowing that our God is full of mercy and justice. Let us confess our sin before God and one another, first in silence, and then using the prayer that's printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Continuing in prayer. Eternal God, from the beginning of time, you have called your children into communion with you. Yet we confess that, like many, we have turned to our own way and refused your love and grace. We worship idols of our own making, turning away from you. Restore us to the joy of knowing you and of recognizing your reign among us. Through Jesus Christ, bringer of your good news. Amen. Let us continue seated and in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, number 2136 in the smaller blue hymnal, Out of the Depths, verse number 3, just verse 3. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone. A new life has begun. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
welcome back. This is the time in our worship service that we share joys and concerns of the community, and we invite you to bring your joys and concerns this morning as well. As we come together in prayer this morning, we would like to remember Glenn Ramsey, who's not with us this morning. He will be having back surgery on Friday. Please pray for him as he tries to make it through this time of pain to Friday and for a successful outcome on that day. Are there other joys and concerns?
We have a big joy in that Presbytery on Wednesday approved Kathy Cooper for candidacy to the ministry and Rick Voigt for ordination. I also have a joy when I went to Synod Council meeting this weekend, I met Jenny Surgener's father.
Good.
And this Saturday, there are going to be representatives from the three presbyteries that are in the New England PPG, Northern New England, Boston, and Southern New England, to get together to talk about ways in which, and perhaps innovative and creative ways in which we can share resources so that we can all be more effective in what we're doing. So I ask your prayers for that meeting.
So Judy finished two meetings and now has a third for the higher governing representation and the work of the higher governing bodies of our church. Prayers for that.
Hi, my cousin Tyler is being deployed to Iraq this coming week. And on Wednesday, his wife went into labor and delivered her baby at 27 weeks. So Logan is about 3 months early. And he weighs 2 pounds, 6 ounces, and he's 15 inches long. He's a very strong little boy. And just prayers for Logan and for his mother, because Tyler is going to be in Iraq. And she'll be here with Logan, and prayers for our family. Thank you. So prayers for Tyler, Logan, and Logan's mom, and Deidre in this time. Yes, you do.
This is Joel. We're celebrating Melissa's 8th birthday today.
Okay, Melissa's 8th birthday today, and there's birthday. To host coffee hour every month.
Christine and I have a joy to share today. We are lucky enough to have some of our best friends from college hanging out with us today. And these folks, excuse me, let me collect my thoughts. They're pretty special to us. They've been some of the best examples of being a Christian and how to lead a Christian lifestyle for me, for my whole life. So we're very blessed to have them here with us today.
Praise God for Christian witnesses and the witnesses of faith.
I have a joy. My home church is celebrating its 10-year anniversary today. Sadly, I couldn't be there, but, you know, I pray for the growth and the community there.
Prayers for King's Church as they celebrate their 10th anniversary today. Praise God for them bringing King to us.
In the back, Joanna.
A neighbor of mine, Myrna Altman, had a heart operation. She had to have a valve reversed in her heart, and the operation was
prayers for Myrna in the correction of this valve replacement, and as she continues to gain strength again.
Let's come before our God in prayer. Almighty God, before the foundations of the earth, you are. Throughout the pages and chapters of history, you are. In every culture and nation, you are. And even here this morning, in this small hour, in our small lives, you are. Your faithfulness is unending, and your promise sure and true that in this life and the next, you will not let us slip from your hand. Though we stumble, you do not fall. O God, trusting in your mercy toward us, we entrust our prayers to you today. Prayers of joy and sorrow, prayers of hope, and prayers of peace. O Lord, if only we knew the things that make for peace that passes understanding, which you alone can give. We remember this day places in our world that do not experience peace. We pray for the Middle East, for Israel and Palestine. We pray for your justice. O God, we pray for our whole world, those countries that are in warfare, in famine, in civil strife, in uncertainty, in oppression. We pray for our own nation, God. May you bless America as you have, but also help us to be a blessing to others. Teach us your way, O Lord, and let us walk in your truth. O God, we pray not only for our nation, but for our state, Rhode Island, and our city, Providence, and the surrounding communities. O Lord, be with our elected leaders. Be with those who make decisions. Help us, as we live our lives in this place, to be good neighbors one to another, not just in word, but in action as well. O God, we pray to you this day, giving thanks for the many blessings in our lives, for friends who are visiting, especially for Mark and Christine's good friends. We give you thanks for their life and witness together and bringing them together for this time today and this weekend. We pray with joy at the 10-year anniversary of Ting's Home Church, something new that you are doing there, and at 10 years old, we give you thanks. For Melissa on her 8th birthday, we pray and give you thanksgiving as well. So God, we pray that you would bless and keep Melissa as she grows up as a child in your hand. Lord, we pray for the movement of your Spirit on our lives and the call that you put upon us. Especially in these days to the call to ministry in the church, we pray for Kathy Cooper with great joy, moving forward in her ordination process. Be with her and continue to form her into who you would have her be. O God, we give you thanks as well for Rick Vogt, who is moving toward ordination in the Presbyterian Church. Be with him, lay your hand upon him, prepare him for the task ahead. O Lord, we are not alone, we know this, but we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. We give you thanks for the connectional nature of our church, for those leaders around the region who are helping us along as individual churches. We pray for Judy's meeting with them, that it would be fruitful for your kingdom. Oh God, all is not well in our world. We know this. We know this when we lift up a prayer for our brother Glenn, who's getting ready for his back surgery. Be with him. We know this when we pray for Joanne's neighbor, Myrna, who's recovering from her procedure. Heal her, we pray. We know this when we hear word from Nigeria about Sean's sister. We pray for those who mourn. We pray for Sean this morning. We know this when Tyler is about to deploy to Iraq and has a baby born prematurely to be left alone with mother. We pray for that whole family. Bless and keep them. Put your presence into their hearts that they might know who you are and that you walk alongside them. Oh God, we pray for so many prayers here spoken aloud and those spoken just in the silence of our hearts. We gather them together with a prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi, how are you? Come on up. So I want to see if you guys are paying attention. Does anybody remember any of the prayer concerns that we just talked about? Can somebody think of one? The prayer concerns. Were you guys paying attention? Or were you just like drawing in your back pew? Who remembers a prayer concern?
Oh, come on. You don't
remember anything? I bet you remember
one. One of the prayer concerns that people said?
Or one of the joys?
Oh, I know.
What?
Melissa's 8th birthday.
Melissa's birthday, yes. Does anybody else remember one? Well, I remember one about King's Church. I actually wrote some down. How about, you know, Dylan, what about her mom? What happened to her mom? Does anybody know? Well, she was ordained. So we had a bunch of prayer concerns. And you know, do you guys like a contest? Do you guys like a contest? You like a contest? Well, you know, what if we had a contest and we said, let's vote on the best prayer concern? Okay, should we do that? Okay, how many people vote for Melissa's birthday as the best prayer concern? All right, let's go. I thought that would be a popular one. How about for the Cooper's ordination? You guys have no idea what that is, do you? You know, I need the older girls down here, okay? So this is a contest, but do we normally have contests in church? We don't. Why do you think that is? You have any idea? It's when you pray to God. That's right. Now, you know, the reason I'm talking about contests is that last week, Pastor Chris told me her sermon was going to be about idols, okay? And then Ann and I went somewhere. Ann, could you come here? Take off your coat? Okay? So, stand up, Ann. Stand up so everybody can see it. So you know, Chris said that her sermon was about idols and that we shouldn't have idols, and Ann and I went off to the idol concert. So that made me think a lot about contests, and you know, we've got a lot of people here. So any of you know any of these people? You know about idols? So these were all a bunch of people. They all had a singing contest on TV, and it was past your bedtime, so I'm glad that you didn't see most of them. So there's Allison. She has really red hair. It's not naturally red. And there's Chris. And you know, so there's a contest, and that's what people like, contests. People like to vote on who's the best person, and that's kind of what we like, and we do need to choose our leaders and all that sort of thing. But in church, that's not the way it works, because when God hears our prayers, God doesn't listen to one prayer or another prayer and say, oh, that's a good prayer, and only listens to one, or that's the best one, okay? What God does is listens to all our prayers, okay? So God's way is to listen to all of our hearts and concerns, not to try and decide who's the best or what's this and that. And in a way, this concert was a little bit about that, because all 10 of these people came and sang to us, and it reminded us that the person who was voted the best, a lot of people didn't think he was the best, but a lot of people who voted he was the best, all 10 of them got to sing, and all 10 of them were wonderful singers. And I think that's kind of the way that God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers, he hears all of us, and thinks it's wonderful that we're thinking and trying to talk to him. All right, let's say a little prayer of our own. Dear God, help us to remember that it is our way to have contests and to see who's the best and to rank everything. It's your way to let everyone be part of your kingdom if they want. Help us to say our prayers and know that those prayers are being heard, so that we may be part of your world. Amen.
All right. Children through grade 5 are excused to classes downstairs. High schoolers are excused to go upstairs to the class at this time, so all high schoolers can go upstairs. Middle schoolers are staying here and worship with us this morning.
Good morning. Today's Old Testament lesson comes from Exodus chapter 20,
verses 4 to 6. You can find it in the Pew Bible on page 63 and in the large print Bible on page 82. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents, to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. And the New Testament lesson is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. And you can find it in the Pew Bible on page 179 and in the large print Bible on page 232. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Last week, Pastor Dave introduced our sermon series on the Ten Commandments, getting down to basics, putting God first in our lives. The beginning commandments of the list of commandments as we know them put us in touch with our relationship with God and call us to deepen that relationship. And then they move to the way that we relate to other people. These initial commandments are the foundation which makes the later commandments possible as we move into the next commandment then, will you pray with me? O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many of you know that Elena and Dave, Pastor Dave and I meet monthly to talk about the month ahead and to plan and worship. And as we met, we were talking about this series of the Ten Commandments that we were to embark upon in September. And Elena always has a question she asks us, it seems, that seems to stick with me through the whole month. And the question she asked was, okay, so which is the hardest commandment to keep? I want to challenge you all to think about that question as we move through this series, through this month. Because as I was working on this sermon, I think I found that this is probably one of the hardest commandments for me to keep. So I'm preaching to myself as much as to you all this morning. At first glance, this might seem like a pretty easy commandment for us to keep. After all, how many of us have idol-making kits in our closets or in our downstairs workrooms? Molds in which we can melt silver or gold to make a likeness of God that we can worship on Sunday morning if we don't feel like coming to church? Probably very few of you. And yet there are other ways that we can knock God from first place in our lives and thus break this commandment. There are ways in which our understanding of who God is too narrow and prevents God from being a true force and center in our lives. While few of us would worship an image of God as the one true God or make that image the center of our life and worship, there are other aspects of our lives which we allow to take a central role and to take over that place of center. Maybe one comes to mind immediately to you. You fill in the blank. Work, success, school, our sense of self, our desire to be physically fit, even family can become an idol in our lives. Howard was a pretty nondescript kind of guy, a middle-aged salesman with a wife and a teenage daughter. He lived in a nice, but not too nice, fancy home. He seemed like a typical church member until the day he stood up during the prayers of confession in worship one day and confessed to the gathered community that the next day he was going to be arrested for 17 counts of bank robbery. That was the beginning of my church internship between the second and third year of seminary. I had a lot of dreams about the Ten Commandments that year. As the story unfolded, though, it became clear that Howard was feeling that life was leaving him behind. He couldn't keep up to the image that he wanted for himself, which he even supposed would allow him to be in this middle-class church. He wanted to provide more for his family, to pledge more to his church even, and he couldn't do it on his sales job. It wasn't the kind of success he needed. So for several years, until he was caught, he lived an illusion. He made an idol of life in the middle class. As we learned last week, no other gods before me is linked and flows directly into the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself an idol, nor bow down to them or worship them. For I am a jealous God, punishing those who reject and showing steadfast love to those who love God and keep my commandments. The dictionary defines this practice of idolatry, of making and keeping idols, as blind or excessive devotion to something, to the worship of idols. Idolatry in the Reformed tradition is the primary manifestation of sin in that someone or something is placed as the most important part, aspect of one's life in thought, attitude, and behavior, a replacement for God. dealing with idolatry demands that we come honestly before God, that we seek to look deep within ourselves to find the person that God knows us to be, the person that God loves, and to bring that best self to God. Our reading this morning in Galatians shows the number of places that we may wander from God as our center. It's interesting that Paul lists idolatry right in the middle of these desires of the flesh. It's passions and desires that take us outside of God as he exhorts the people to live by the Spirit. Can it be that keeping this commandment is really a day-to-day activity? Not just a Sunday worship action, but rooted in the way that we live our lives and make daily commitments? We depend upon our life in the Spirit to keep the commandments and to make no idols. The society around us challenges us to put many other things first, doesn't it? Our jobs and our success as the definition of ourselves. Think about what happens when a job is lost, or the meaning that that job once had for our lives no longer moves us. Our physical health and fitness, as we fall prey to the idol of exercise, well, maybe not all of us do, but some can. But what happens to us if we have no God in our lives when our bodies fail us? Some of you know this story that I've told before, but during my senior year at Princeton, it was, as many of you students who are in here know, a kind of a time of decision-making, of launching ourselves to discover what success was going to mean for our lives and all of the hard work that we had put into those 4 years of school and to finally come out and be something. In February of that year, in the midst of applying to law school and interviewing for insurance company positions, which was where I was headed, my best friend and spiritual mentor from my high school years had surgery, entered into a coma, and nearly died. When she emerged from that six-week coma, she was permanently brain damaged. Life changed for her in an instant. It can. All of my hopes and the priorities and perspective that I had as I looked towards a bright and shiny future changed in an instant. And suddenly, it seemed like I had a foundation for my life that was built upon sand. Something, I would say it was probably God, led me to pray like I'd never prayed before. And God came into my life at center in a way that I'd never felt before. And I thought, this is something that people need to know about. It was a powerful guide that told me what to do each step of the way. It allowed me to keep my focus through the finishing of my senior thesis and coursework to know what the next step in my life would be. One step at a time, no big master plan revealed. Now, that didn't change the fact that Shelley was brain damaged or that our friendship changed radically or that she would die not much after her 40th birthday. But it changed the way I looked at life and the way I trusted God to lead me into what God's will for my life was, and not just simply what I wanted to do with it. It gave a power to stay in relationship with a Shelley who was very changed despite the losses, to come and love her as a new being to the end of her life. But the power of this commandment to make no idols, is not just an individual thing. It is lived out in community and witness. Another way that we may make an idol is to elevate one aspect of God's image above all others. And the work of the community in bringing differing perspectives and emphases together can be so helpful here. We learn from one another. We stretch in new directions with each other in similar ways to the way that we do as we go to school and encounter new ideas. For some, A God of justice is primary to our understanding of how God works in the world. For others, the abiding presence of a personal God who is friend above friends motivates our devotion and worship. For yet others, the compassion and the love that Jesus showed in sparing not even his own life to take on our sins motivates us to reach out to others and share the good news. You add your own perspective of God. As we come together in community, we grow in understanding. We discover and deepen our walk with God, and the richness of God's grace, power, mercy, and love may become even more central as we are challenged by one another. It's a matter of what is first in our lives, of putting God first, as Pastor Dave preached last week, that enables us to make no idols. And it's a matter of opening ourselves to deepen in our understanding of how God is at work in the world. Keeping our worship and devotion to God central in our lives expands our horizons and makes it even easier and ever easier to find the time and energy for those things which are more important in life. I have been struck in these last few weeks by the perspectives of several families in the church who are going through extraordinary personal challenges of varying kinds. Certainly, the Brown-Benson family in these days, but others of you as well. Even through the trauma, I cannot tell you how many times I have heard over and over, we need to remember that God is God and God will lead us through. That we have gathered and sung hymns, that even when I can't think of a word of hope to offer, the person has been touched by God to call upon God and to recognize that God is there for them. No matter how hard it seems at this time, how painful or sad, God is at work. And God is in the midst of it all. These families know and trust that. And they're showing forth a faith that is beyond any human understanding. So you might be wondering, what about Howard? Well, he missed most of his daughter's high school and college years in the 7 years he spent in prison across the country. But in the moment of decision when he sought God's forgiveness and he turned his life over fully to God and vowed to keep God at the center, and from what I have heard since then, he has continued to do, he encourages those who have known him to tell this story and call forth change in others' lives. His wife and his daughter likewise lived faithfully through that time, and when they were reunited after those 7 years, they rebuilt their family on a new foundation, and God has blessed them in ways, in peace and true well-being, that the material success that he thought he was pursuing could never have accomplished. As the benediction on Wednesday at Presbytery put it, it's that easy and it's that difficult. A daily and sometimes even hourly decision to keep God at the center of our lives. As our scripture in Exodus promises today, God blesses with steadfast love that decision. It is one of the few commandments that has an explicit promise and also a punishment attached. Paul reminds us that with the Spirit all things are possible, and a power that is not of this world is at work, ever ready to move in our midst. May it be so for all of us today and always. Amen.
Please rise and join in the affirmation of faith, which is printed in the bulletin. We confess and acknowledge one God alone, to whom alone we must cleave, whom alone we must serve, whom only we must worship, and in whom alone we put our trust. In the broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all people to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silent, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." I'm here to talk about the peacemaking offering and to introduce our speaker for the moment for mission. The peacemaking offering is one of the four Presbyterian offerings we collect each year, and this year it'll be dedicated on World Communion Sunday, which is in 2 weeks on October 4th. The offering goes to support local, national, and international peacemaking projects and emphases of the larger church. The envelopes for this offering are available in the pews. They look like this. And in the back, there is a brochure that looks like this if you want to learn a little bit more about the peacemaking offering. 75% of that offering goes to the Presbytery and the General Assembly. And locally, we designate 25% of the received offering to a cause of our choice. This year, the Outreach Steering Committee has recommended and Session has concurred that the local portion will be dedicated towards providing Summer Institute Nonviolence Training Scholarships. And at this time I'd like to introduce and invite Sharon Key, who's an ordained UCC minister and friend of this congregation, who is heading our local cause, to come forward and tell us a little bit about that organization.
Good morning, everyone. I am indeed a friend of this congregation and come here as often as I can to worship with you and enjoy so much being with you, and have known some of you for many, many years. Helen, almost 20 years now. Can you believe that? And I worked with Dan Blackford at Woodridge Congregational Church together. So it's great to be here. The Center for Nonviolence and Peace Studies is at the University of Rhode Island. It's a department there. And we are honored to be led by Dr. Bernard Lafayette, who is now at Emory, but he's still emeritus at our center in Rhode Island. And he was on Martin Luther King's executive staff. He was in the Nashville, part of the Nashville sit-ins, the Freedom Rides in 1961, and was the first person into Selma for the voting rights, voters registration. So he was the very first person to go to Selma and start that voters campaign there. So he was an integral part of the civil rights movement, and we are so blessed to have him as our lead trainer, who and I have taken both level, what we call level one training and level two training. And those of us that take that training are sent from, I teach at the training school, so I'm here in Rhode Island teaching nonviolence to teenagers at the training school, which is our correctional institution. And we also train around the world. We have centers now in Colombia, South Africa, Palestine. We have four, I've been training in Palestine, I've been there three times, and we have trained 250 Palestinians, and there are now four nonviolence centers working with youth in Palestine. We have centers in Colombia, as I said, South Africa. At our Summer Institute, we try to bring people from all over the world to become trainers. And this summer, we had people from Ghana, South Somalia, Cameroon, Colombia, Japan, and so people are able to come, and your scholarships allow us to pay for their airfare and pay for their dormitory stays while they're with us, and they go back to their countries and spread not only the news about nonviolence, but the strategies and the philosophies behind those strategies to really implement nonviolence in their communities, and mainly to work with youth so that our future is one of hope for peace and nonviolence in our world. So it's great work, and I'm just so delighted and thankful that you have chosen to have the center as your beneficiary of your peacemaking offering. It's quite generous of you, and we're very, very honored and pleased. So thank you so much.
We come now to the time in our worship service to offer our gifts and blessings back to God. Let us come together in this time of offering.
Oh, as the ghost, they are the ways of men. You are the Most High God. There is none like you. Oh, as the ghost, they are the ways of men. You are the Most High God. There is none like you, Jehovah,
you are
the Most High. Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most
High.
Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Jehovah, you are the Most High God. Jehovah is. Jehovah. Jehovah is. You are the Most High, Jehovah. Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most High God. Oh, as the gods, they are the works of man. You are the Most High God. There is none like you, Jehovah.
You are the
Most High. Jehovah.
You are the Most High.
Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most
High.
Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most High God. Amen.
Thank you.
now let the Word and Spirit of Christ dwell in you richly and draw you ever closer to God. And may the grace